I tend to listen to them just because, like, I'm assuming this is for everybody, but, like, I never, ever remember what the fuck I say.
Oh, me neither.
Like, I'm going to go back to that last episode and be like, did I really just say that my penis is small at the very end of the podcast?
Well, you just, I did. Well, you just said it at the very beginning of this one.
It's true then, it's true now. Shut up. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, my God. It was the funniest article I've ever read in my entire life.
I watched a couple of compilation videos on YouTube. I've got it all figured out.
You're listening to the No Big Banana Podcast.
Welcome back to the No Big Banana Podcast. Yeah. My name is Charles.
My name is 2 inches. I mean...
My name's Cody.
Listen, man, it's been a long time since I've been here. I've got a lot of, like,
dick creative jokes
juices.
Out.
Yeah, I got these creative juices flowing from me.
That's a nice term for it.
Yeah, they're just seeping out of every pore.
Okay. So, today is D&D Day.
I'm a child.
We're going to talk about D&D stuff.
Yeah.
I had an idea a minute ago for a town full of lost stuff.
Just
so like island stuff. Of everybody, misfit toys.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's like that one. What was it, Brocco? Or which? No. Which show was it? There was like they go through the actual dryer and they find the land of all the left socks. And it's just every left sock.
I don't remember. In this town, everybody loses everything. This is not the final destination of the lost things. This is the origin.
Oh, okay.
So everybody that lives there loses everything.
That sucks.
And then maybe they find out that it's because there's some like curse or something on the town. Okay. But that would be a fun place where like there's just like a bulletin board of lost shit and it's just full.
Yeah, it's
just
always, like
overflowing.
Yeah, you can never find it. That's actually a cool concept.
There's a basket out back or a gigantic box out back that's just overflowing with a mountain.
There should be one dude. Yeah. There should be one dude in the town that never loses anything. It's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he'd be under suspicion.
Yeah,
the
he'd
one
be
who's
the final boss of that town because he's stealing everything from everyone else. I had the idea, I like the idea of like a tinker town. So like,
oh, a tinker town.
Yeah, like okay. Let me rephrase that. The idea is that like there's a toy shop or something in town, and the guy at the toy shop is making like sentient toys that like pose an uprising.
Oh, that's cool.
So then it's like
a toy takeover.
Yeah. So like when you go to the town, there it's not like it's like a ghost town. So there's
the
like
island
nothing.
Of mutinous toys.
Kind of. Yeah. So it's like they're all just it's just like mannequins and shit like. Mm-hmm. There isn't anybody in town, and like it's kind of like in that, fuck man, I've only seen one episode of Doctor Who and I checked the fuck out because I don't like mannequins.
Well, then that was the first one.
Yeah. So that's the one I saw. So something kind of like that. I thought it would be a kind of a cool idea to have like toys that just like follow the people around as they go around town trying to figure out where everyone went.
Man, I can see that being a good town.
Yeah.
Mannequins.
And then you have to like go to and find the guy, kind of like in Adventure Time, when they finally find the dude that makes all of the different BMOs and CMOs and DMOs.
So, what is your idea for the town?
I need a water. Cody, right back.
We didn't quite flesh it out fully for like how it happens or what happens. We kind of have an idea.
Yeah.
But it was a town that is infinitely building itself out of natural ground.
Well, no, we did talk about that one on the podcast.
Oh, did we?
The one that we didn't talk about last week was the idea for the arena city.
Oh, that's right.
It's a coliseum.
Right. I returned with water.
It's a coliseum, and the coliseum is
ASMR. The city.
Is the city.
Mm-hmm.
ASMR is supposed to be satisfying.
Yeah.
Not like misophonia, people are going to be pissed. Although, if you have misophonia, why are you listening to podcasts?
Yeah.
It's kind of come with the territory. Mm-hmm. But the
this
whole
is good water, bro.
The Colosseum is the town,
mm-hmm.
and on the outsides of the town, or on the outside of the circle,
I think you told me about this
are
one.
All the shops,
yeah.
and the people live under the city.
Yeah.
That's the shit.
Uh huh.
Couldn't find a coaster.
That's gonna be in Xanthar.
Okay.
In the battle world.
I started drawing more on the map.
Oh, good.
I have to show it to you. It's not like detailed, but
I don't need it to be.
Yeah.
I want to give people like a
creative liberty.
Yeah, but I also want to give them a direction. So if I can say, here's a shape, work within that.
Yeah.
Right.
Also for scale, because I've decided, I think I re-sized the countries.
Oh, yeah, because I kind of did a little bit once you told me, like, further apart. I was like, well, they're going to have to be a little bit smaller then in the scale of the
I think that I want to do it where OVEX is a little over 5 million square miles.
And, oh, so much bigger.
And Senate, no, smaller than I had originally thought. I was originally thinking, like, 7.
Gotcha.
But I think a little over 5 million square miles for OVEX.
From 7 miles to 50 million miles.
Yeah. A little under 4 million for Anson, maybe 3.75.
I'm Chris Hansen. I'm an Anson.
And then for Santhir, that would be 3.5.
Are there Panthers
in Santhir? No. Santhir is 2.5 million.
Is there a team, the Santhir Panthers?
No. They're not the Santhir Panthers.
They have a football team named the Santhir
Panthers. There probably should be a gang.
Yeah.
Of Santhir called Panthers. The Santhir Panthers.
Yeah, come on.
And they're just
Tuttle
like...
Tuttle Snakes rule.
And they're just like... they're like the Warriors.
Yeah.
But they're Santhir
just
Panthers.
One just like with some fucking bottles on his fingers like...
Yeah.
Panthers, come out to play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's going to happen for sure.
That's a good show.
Santhir's like 2.5 million. And then Tomb Crest is 1 million.
Nice.
Tomb Crest is the little guy.
So I have an idea for a guy.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about... I like the idea of, like, kind of juxtaposing two different, like, styles that don't normally go together.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, everybody does the horny bard or the dumb barb or, you know, whatever. So I thought it would be an interesting idea to have... And this one isn't so far down that line, but I like the idea of a barbarian who eventually makes a contract with a god for more power and becomes warlock. So, like, a barbarian warlock.
Oh,
a barblock. Okay.
That's
his name
cool.
is Cadwallader.
Cadwallader?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the name of... I can't say folk. I was watching, like, the original Twilight Zone series, and in the one where the guy makes a deal with the devil for immortal life, the devil refers to himself as Cadwallader because he's like, it's a good name. It sounds fun. Mm. You can call me Cadwallader, but it's the devil. So I thought it'd be a cool idea to have that as a name for a character that makes a deal with said devil.
That's cool.
I like it.
I like Cadwallader.
It's a good name, bro. It's like a good ass name. That's why I was like, hell yeah, I'm taking that for a character. I wrote it in my phone, Cadwallader, character name, D&D.
FBI, get on Special it. Agent Cadwallader.
It's just a good ass name.
That's true.
Shh. Cadwallader's here.
I can hear him. And he
Captain Cadwall.
And more importantly, he can hear us.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Monsters, too. Like, I want to be able to, like,
have you thought
some...
about gods?
No.
I
have not.
Be cool to have, like, a whole...
I've not thought about religion at all. I've barely, like, structured the fucking... I've barely structured the political systems. I have a rough idea of what they are.
Yeah.
But all of that stuff, I think, is going to come as I do the show. I forgot.
Twitch.tv
That's what I originally called it. No, it's going to be on YouTube. I haven't decided. Well, no. It's going to be on Man Shorts.
YouTube.com/Man Shorts.
That's the place to find it.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about it here, too.
Listen, man, I'm trying to fucking plug your shit, bro.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, you people know where we are.
Y'all don't call
already,
them you
if
people.
If you're listening, you already know. Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Ewans over there.
Yeah.
Y'all know what's going on.
Y'all lizard folks.
You're wearing a Pizza Planet shirt, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Don't you have a Pizza Planet hat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does.
Whoa.
I like Toy Story.
Are you the guy from the show?
Yeah, could be.
Were you the guy?
What are you, Woody?
Do you know? Do you? Isn't strange to you when people call television, people call a movie a show?
You like the pictures?
Yeah, you got the moving pictures with the sounds.
No, but when somebody will be like, "Hey, have you seen that show Braveheart?"
I don't. I've never heard anybody refer to a movie as a show.
You
haven't
either.
Heard
that before?
I don't think I have.
I've heard it so many times.
I don't know.
Maybe all the time,
maybe
people are like,
Cody and I are from a different part of the world where we refer to it as like soda instead of pop.
That's true.
Oh, no, actually, we call it soda instead of Coke because down here everything is Coke.
Yes. Well,
unless it's Pepsi or if it's like grape drink.
I've lived here more of my life than I have in places that said pop. It's just that when
nobody
I lived
says
there.
Pop. Fuck anybody that says pop.
I adopted
what are you, from
it
Michigan?
And I enjoyed it.
Fucking Michiganer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's regroup.
Yeah.
Let's settle down.
Yeah.
Gotten a little out of control.
The border wars are over.
Fucking Democrat
pop
mayor.
Pop is the move. In fact, there's a woman at the Dollar Tree who I go through, and when I get a pop, she says, "Hey, do you want your pop out?" And I always say, "No, thanks." Or I say, "No, I say."
You gotta pop that. You gotta pop that. You gotta
see,
pop that pop in the pop.
I'm a good storyteller.
Yeah.
I always say yes, but I always comment on the fact that she says pop. because I say pop. Mm. It's cool. It's an elite club thing.
No, I don't think anything at Dollar General or Dollar Tree can be called elite. Okay, yeah,
listen.
Where do you shop? I shop at Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
What about you? Fucking
if you
pleb?
Don't, you're a fucking idiot.
Fucking pleb.
Go to the Dollar Tree before you go to the Walmart. I'm, you'll save $30 every time. Guaranteed.
I'm fucking in a class above you. I go to Dollar General.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So back to the D&D.
Yeah.
I thought of a guy, a guy that I would want to do too, like one of those traveling.
The way you phrase that.
Phrasing. I thought of a guy that I would like to make in the D&D world for the D&D campaign is a guy who is like a traveling like snake oil salesman.
Okay.
Like one of those like medicine men.
Yeah. Like fucking JonTron up front of group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that. That guy would be cool, that's like, oh, step right up.
I think it would be cool to have a character like that who's actually selling like the real shit. Like, you know, he says that he's got cobra venom, and everyone thinks he's just got snake oil, but he actually has cobra venom.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's like nobody listens to him, but he's got the best shit in town.
But he's like an alchemist.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
An apothecary.
That's really the only reason why I love Fullmetal Alchemist, is because the idea of the alchemy makes sense in a way.
The law of equal exchange.
It's so full metal.
I mean, it does. It makes more sense than like, oh yeah, you can just punch gods like Dragon Ball. You know?
Yeah, speaking of gods, I don't know how I'm going to do that at all. I think I might just make it, like, up in the air.
The reason why I thought of it initially is because Hank Hardtank, I want to make the god for, like, tailor make the god for him. Because, like I said, I don't want him to be an oathbreaker, but I want him to constantly be making his deity be like, ugh, goddamn it, Hank.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, he'll just be like, fucking a goblin or something, and she's just like, oh god damn it.
I do was just thinking, monster wise I want to make a Hummeranoctopus.
Say that again.
That's a Hummeranoctopus.
A Hummeranoctopus?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is a Hummeranoctopus?
A Hummeranoctopus.
A Hummeranoctopus.
Like the bulk of the body.
It sounds like Chris D'Elia making fun of him, like Hummeranoctopus.
Listen, the bulk of the body is a hippo. But it has the head.
This metropolis.
All right. Do you want to know or not?
Yes, I do. I'm just playing.
It has the head of a rhinoceros, and the horn of a rhinoceros, and the tentacle.
A head of a rhinoceros and a horn of a rhinoceros.
Look, man, I'm breaking down a creature called a Hummeranoctopus. I would thank you to let me explain, because some of it doesn't make sense.
That like that. Continue.
So,
good times.
On the top of on
the time the chest, the head of a rhinoceros and the horn of a rhinoceros.
On the tip of the horn. Is
a rhinoceros.
Is a hummingbird.
Aww.
And that's how it moves, because its bottom half is tentacles beneath the hippo. So if you're looking at it from if you're looking at it from the bottom to the top, it's tentacles, hippopotamus, rhinoceros like head and horn, and a hummingbird on the tip of the horn.
Why does that have a rhino or a hippo body?
This sounds like what a 2-year-old would do if he was like making creatures and like, what's that one game? Like Spore?
I was about to say, it sounds like my Spore project.
Yeah, it is like Spore. Awesome. Yeah, but dude, Hummeranoctopus don't fuck around.
I just imagine so.
There's serious business, dude.
Hummeranoctopus has got to be the name of this episode. Oh, also, where did the hippo come in?
I don't know.
It's the body.
You know, well, it came in when I felt attacked when you were yelling at me about the rhino head. It occurred to me as I was finishing up that the hippopotamus.
I'm just gonna throw something badass in there like a hippo.
The hippopotamus has no business there. It's a Hummeranoctopus. Now,
I had a Michael for every time I said that.
There's also another animal that I'd created over the years called an Australianki. And Australianki's
like an Australopithecus with like a donkey.
Are also serious business.
I'm just picturing like an Australopithecus with like a donkey bottom,
no way, dude.
A centaur.
Australianki's, there's some sort of a hybrid of a donkey, an ostrich, and a lion. But I forget.
I forget how it's all made up. In Hot Rod, when he just starts like making up carrot, like making up animals to be his like spirit animal.
Look, man, don't get mad at me.
I'm not getting mad at you. You didn't
come up with Hummer an octopus or Australian conversation
a lot.
Yeah, it is. It, this one's fun about the about monsters because you can do anything that you want with that.
Yeah.
If it's homebrew, like, I mean, we're going to be taking some licensing problems anyway with Wizards. So we might as well just, like, make our own shit up and stat it up. Besides, they totally nerfed the Tarrasque for 5e.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
They need to be. Well, here's the thing. The Tarrasque in 3.5 was immune to magic.
Yeah, that's not gonna fly level one.
Yeah, that's barely gonna fly at epic level.
Yeah.
I've fought the Tarrasque in 3.5 multiple times at epic levels.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like the fucking end of campaigns.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I don't think we've only beaten it once, maybe twice.
Although, all the times
I've fought it.
I will say I think one of the I've done, I don't know, like 4 or 5 DM sessions. So I'm not one to talk from like a place of like understanding everything, every in and out, but like that's actually one of my favorite things is like when I realized, because like the first time fucking Cody had like Thunderclap and I didn't realize like how many spell slots it was going to take, so he was just thunderclapping everything in the fucking cave, so there was like nothing left. So then the next time I was like, all right, I'm gonna fucking fuck with this shit. So I made like a little goblin necromancer that would like raise the goblin every turn until they found him. So he was, like, hiding in the shadows and stuff. So, like, I think actually that's a good thing about 5e is that they give you a very basic layout so that you could build upon it.
Right.
From
the DM perspective.
Yeah. And so I think that's actually a, you know, having a Tarrasque, like, being able to set up, you know, fuck it. Like, make the Tarrasque the way it was in 3.5. Like, give it a flavored reason as to why. And you can
Oh, dude, I am all about that shit. Like, these fucking play-by-the-book DMs can take a hike.
No.
I mean, hey, get out of here.
If that's how you like to play and that's how your players like to play, whatever.
They can get on the next bus to Tucson, as far as I'm concerned.
But I think it's really fun to mess around with things. At least between the two, because I played the same campaign twice. Because we had different people coming in. And it was like it had been like a week or 2 weeks in between the sessions. So I was like, I'm not gonna like build up an entire new campaign. I've already got the maps and shit. I've even got like little paper miniatures that I made for it and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just gonna add on to it. So I was just like sitting around thinking about ideas and how to fuck with them as they go back through this place that they already knew. Because I knew that inherently, like even though like your characters don't know, it is very hard to not metagame when you know what's happening, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
you have to actively do it. You have to actively not metagame.
So, especially for, like, brand new players who, no, I mean, that's obviously not anything in offense. It's just, like, I knew that it was going to be difficult to get, like, any kind of, like, adventuring hook back in. So, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to make it a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
So, I made, like, and I had to, like, give a hint to one of the girls playing. I was like, the ledge that those goblin archers on is very, very rickety.
Oh, yeah,
almost
you have
like
to.
You could throw something at it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do on your turn? You know, because like they were getting annihilated by the two like guard wolves that I threw in there.
Yeah.
Look, man, you'll look back on those sessions fondly because let me tell you from experience, when you DM experienced players, it's just a shit show.
It's just like
you give them the thing and then it's like they do stuff that you couldn't have even thought of.
They're like, of course.
I'm going to set it on fire. And it's just like, what?
Yeah, I'm going to control water.
Why?
Yeah, so I'm going to put all of the water into his lungs.
Why would you do
technically
that?
Technically, you can.
Which is why I don't DM very often and why I'm that guy.
Yeah.
In the first episode of the We Play, that Rigsby cast Cloud of Daggers on these elves. And I was like, so do we have to roll DC? I was like, we have to roll saves if I want to go in there, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, Ethan's like, yeah, it's probably not a good idea for anybody to go in there. And there's like a long pause and everybody looks at me and I'm like, I'm going in.
Of course. Of course. Because
that's always how it goes, dude. Yeah, like, you always gotta push the envelope.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I think it behooves a good campaign to have people like playing creatively. Like, even like, and I know you're not a big fan of Critical Role, but like some of the best moments are when they do something that Matt just doesn't see coming.
Well, yeah, that's the best moment of D&D.
Even like with
Vecna. That's the thing that irks me about them is because that's not them. That's just D&D.
But that's just one of my favorite moments of those campaigns is when things like that happen. Mm-hmm. Like when Sam like does ninth level counterspell when Vecna's trying to escape to stay alive, or like when what's his face steals the hand of Vecna, and then they just decided to make an entire new campaign where you go and try to find him because he's stolen the hand of Vecna. So you actually like go to the ninth hells and find Archon the Cruel, which is his character. It's just cool. It's just fun. Like when all of the characters are like, "What?
Yeah."
It's just good moments, you know. So like, if a player did want to like conjure water inside of someone's lungs to drown them from the inside out, I'd let him.
Oh, dude! One time, Justin DM'd us and he put us in this puzzle where we were underwater, and it took like we were all freaking out. The room filled with water. And then everybody opened their mouths, and we were just able to breathe underwater.
Nice.
But there was like a good like 5-10 minutes at the table where it was just like panic.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you got to roll this save, and like hope you have the constitution to keep holding your breath. And then like somebody finally broke, and we were all like, oh no. And then Justin was like, you just open your mouth and you're fine.
Yeah. You just breathe normal.
And then we're all like, oh my god. Yeah.
Those are the best moments.
Those are great moments. Yeah. So, but you know.
Yeah.
It's important to experience those things organically, and you can experience them organically by yourself with your own D&D group.
Or by playing Chaos Thrives Within when it eventually comes out in 2037.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's coming out sooner than that.
Hell yeah.
2036, probably.
Yeah.
My
mixtape's dropping 2038, and right before that, Chaos Thrives Within.
Oh, and Chaos Thrives Within. Join the Party. Fuck, it's coming out in the fall.
Yeah, dude.
I haven't picked a date yet. But I'll figure it out.
Hot, probably on the later side of
fall.
It's going to be as hot as fucking that bell.
That bell. Okay. Just follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. At No Big Banana. And then, send us an email at nobigbanana@gmail.com. It's like having a friend with Tourette's.
Yeah.
Except that it's like fully
regrets.
It's fully selective. Yeah, Tourette's with no regrets.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, maybe you should be rapping.
Yeah. Fuck that bell.
You're gonna make me put the mic down, dude.
Go to hell.
All right. The Chaos Thrives Within show is coming soon.
Don't go to hell.
See you next Tuesday.
Listen to the goddamn podcast.